Have you ever been driving and suddenly realised your windscreen is filthy, splattered with mud or bugs or road spray? You try the wipers, but actually nothing helps because you've run out of washer fluid. Instead of clearing things up, it actually just smears everything and makes it worse. The sun hits it at a really bad angle, and then it's almost impossible to see. But then, finally, in my case, you get around to refilling the washer fluid and give the wipers a going, and with a spray and a swipe, everything becomes clear. You can see again. Well, that's a bit of a picture of what today's verse is about. Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Now, this is part of the Beatitudes, which was the sort of introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. So this is Jesus talking to people and encouraging them sort of telling them how they could live in a way that's pleasing to God. And we're going to be thinking about three questions together today. What does it mean to be pure in heart? What does it mean to see God? And why is that such good news? Along the way, we'll hear some challenges for our hearts, some encouragements, and a reminder of the amazing promise that Jesus gives. And children, the few of you that are here, this is for you as well. It's not just for the adults. Keep listening, because this is something important that we all need to hear. Before we dive into the first question, we're going to pause on the very first word that Jesus says, blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? And it doesn't mean just being happy, although it does include deep joy. It means having God's favour, being in a right and joyful relationship with him. To be blessed is to be someone who is truly well off in God's eyes, not because of your money, your health, or your achievements, but because God is with you and for you. So when Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, he's saying, God is with these people. They are truly fortunate, deeply happy, and highly favoured because of what God is doing within them. So, let's move on to the first question. What does it mean to be pure in heart? This microphone still sounds like it's booming quite a lot. Is it loud out there? Okay. Right, let's start with the word pure. It means clean, undivided, not mixed with anything else, like clean water, a clean glass, or a clean heart. But what specifically does a pure heart mean? In the Bible, the heart is more than just feelings. It's the real you, your thoughts, your desires, your decisions, your character. So when Jesus is talking about being pure in heart, he's talking about the very core of who we are. Now, remember earlier when we saw the dirty water? It looks horrible and we don't want to drink it. Well, that's a picture of the heart full of sin. But when the water was clean, in whatever form we take, clean and fresh, that's like a pure heart. A heart that wants what God wants. A heart that's not full of lies or hate or selfishness. So a pure heart means that we sincerely love God and others, that we are the same person on the inside that we show on the outside, that we don't pretend to be holy whilst hiding sin, and that we want to please God, not people. Now we can see this idea of purity talked about really clearly in Psalm 15, which is why we have that read. It starts asking a brilliant question. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? In other words, who can come close to God? Well, it answers like this. The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart. Now, it's a wonderful description of someone who is pure in heart. Psalm 15 continues, who does no wrong to a neighbour, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. It's not about being perfect. We are all full of sin, and nobody apart from Jesus is perfect. But it's about being genuine and striving. So it means living with integrity, where we are, where who we are on the outside matches who we are on the inside. We don't wear a mask or play a part. We sincerely want to please God, even when no one else sees. And striving means that we keep going, even when it's hard. We don't drift into purity. It takes effort, prayer, and the Spirit's help. It means turning away from sin every day, being honest when it would be easier to lie, choosing kindness when we feel annoyed, holding our tongue when we'd rather speak harshly, and honouring God even when it's costly. That's the kind of purity Psalm 15 describes. So when Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart," he's not talking about people who have it all together, or those who never make mistakes. He's talking about people who genuinely want to please God from the inside out. People who aren't just pretending to be good, but who are learning to love what God loves and live it out in their real life. Their hearts aren't divided or fake. They're steadily focused on God. Well, that's the kind of heart that can come close to him. That's the kind of person who is blessed. Not because they've earned it, but because God sees and honours that purity. And what does Jesus say is the reward for that kind of heart? They will see God. So, our second question, what does it mean to see God? So the second part of Jesus' sentence says, "For they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And that's an astonishing promise. But before we get to that, let's stop and think what it actually means to see God. And there are two ways that we can see God, one for now and one in the future. Now, in this life, we can't see God physically. He is invisible. But those who are pure in heart start to see him by faith. We can see him at work in creation, like when you watch a sunset and your heart stirs, or when you see the intricate design of a flower or a newborn baby and think, only God could have made something so wonderful. We clearly see the goodness, God's goodness in Jesus, in the way he welcomed outcasts, he healed those who are hurting, and always spoke the truth with love. We see God's love in the cross, where Jesus gave his life to rescue sinners. Not because we deserved it, but because he loves us. We can see God's power in our lives and in the lives of others, when prayers are answered, when people are changed, when comfort comes in suffering, and when we find strength that we didn't know we had. And primarily now, we see and know God through his word. As we read the Bible, we hear his voice. As we trust his promises, our vision of who he is becomes clearer. He reveals his heart to us through the pages of Scripture, and as we walk with him, we start to recognize his hand in every part of life. When your heart is cluttered with sin or pride or bitterness, we'll struggle to see God clearly, just like that dirty windscreen. But when our heart is cleansed, when our motives are right, and when our eyes are fixed on him, we'll begin to notice his presence everywhere. So if you can imagine someone wearing really foggy glasses, they keep saying, "I don't know what's so amazing about that sunset." That's got nothing to do with the sunset. It's down to their glasses. Imagine them taking the glasses off and cleaning them. Suddenly, wow, colours, clouds, light. Well, that's what happens when God cleans our heart. We begin to finally see him for who he is. And sometimes it's not all at once. Sometimes it's like the glasses get a bit cleaner at a time. The fog slowly fades, and we start to see more clearly. That's what it can be like as we grow in knowing God. The more we trust him, the more we listen to his word and let him work in us, the more clearly we'll see how good and great he really is. So, that's how we can see God now. But there's an even greater promise that the Bible gives us. The Bible says that one day, all who trust in Jesus and are made pure through him will see God face to face. Revelation 22 verse 4 says this about God's people in heaven. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. Now that might seem like a strange image at first, but it's a powerful one. It means that in heaven we will fully belong to God and will know it. His name will be on our foreheads like a permanent reminder of who we are and whose we are. We belong to him forever. I don't know if you've ever seen Toy Story, but do you remember how Woody has Andy's name written on the bottom of his boot? It's how he knows who he belongs to. It's what makes him feel safe and loved, even when things are hard. Well, that's a bit like what the verse is saying. In heaven, everyone will be marked as God's, No more doubts, no more fear, no more joy. No more doubts, no more fear, just joy. Move the paragraph. We belong. We're one. We are being with the one who loves us most, and we'll see his face clearly forever. This is the greatest joy imaginable. Not just heaven, not just forgiveness, but God himself. That's the reward. The pure in heart will see God. So then, who is pure in heart? At this point, we might feel uncomfortable, because if purity is the condition for seeing God, what hope do we have? Psalm 15 gives a beautiful list. But do we always speak the truth? Do we always keep our promises when it hurts? Do we never gossip or harm others with our words? If God is looking for clean hearts, don't we all fall short? The answer to who is pure in heart? Well, we need Jesus. This is where the gospel comes in. None of us are naturally pure in heart. We all need a new heart. And that's exactly what Jesus came to offer us. In Ezekiel 36, God promises, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. On the cross, Jesus took all our sin, all our uncleanness, and washed it away. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. It says that in Isaiah chapter 1. So the pure in heart are not those who try hard enough or those who clean themselves up. They're the ones who trust Jesus to make them clean and let him transform their hearts from the inside out. So, what does that actually look like? How does that change our lives? And here's where Psalm 15 comes back in. It paints the picture of someone who walks the walk, not just talks the talk. Let's revisit a few of those examples and ask ourselves honestly. Am I speaking the truth from my heart, or do I pretend to be someone I'm not? Do I refuse to slander others, even when it's tempting to join in gossip? Do I keep my word, even when it's hard? Do I honour those who fear the Lord, or do I admire the people the world admires? Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. And let's not misunderstand this. Jesus isn't saying only the perfect can come close to God. He's saying, you can come to God because I am perfect and I've taken the dirt away. He doesn't wait for us to sort ourselves out. He invites us to come as we are, and he promises to wash us clean. And he doesn't just clean our hearts once. He keeps purifying them day by day as we walk with him. And as we grow in that purity, we grow in our joy, our vision of God, and our ability to live as his people. So then we have to ask the question, so what? What should I do? Well, firstly, we need to come to Jesus for a clean heart. If you've never done it, do it today. Don't wait until you think you've sorted out your life enough. Don't try to clean yourself up before coming to him. You'll never manage it on your own. Jesus doesn't say, go and fix your heart and then come to me. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He will cleanse you. He died on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven. He rose again so that we could have a new heart, a new life, a new future. When we come to him in repentance and faith, he washes us clean on the inside. Like the old hymn says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And because of that, you can be pure in heart. Not because we're good or strong or have anything together, but because God is good, because Jesus is good, and because he gave his life for us. Because his spirit comes to live in us, helping us to want what God wants and helping us to love what God loves. That's the start of a pure heart. It begins not with effort, but with grace. Not with trying harder, but with trusting Jesus. And if you've already come to Jesus, then keep coming to him every day. Keep letting him wash you, guide you, shape you. A pure heart is not just something we receive once. It's something that grows as we walk closely with him. So secondly, we keep going. If you've already come to Jesus, well, don't stop there. The Christian life isn't just a one-time decision. It's a daily walk. A pure heart isn't something that we receive and then put on a shelf. It's something that's nurtured, shaped, and tested every single day. God is still at work in us. He promises in Philippians 1 that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That means he hasn't finished with you yet, so don't settle. Don't drift. Don't assume purity of heart is something you can forget about. Ask Jesus to keep shaping your heart. Keep reading the Bible and looking and trying to understand the true and revealed word of God. Keep letting his word wash over your mind. Keep letting his spirit speak into your desires, your choices, your relationships. Ask him regularly, Lord, is there any part of me that's divided? Am I trying to follow you and the world at the same time? Ask him, am I more concerned about how I look to others than who I truly am inside? Ask him if you're seeking him with all our hearts or just fitting in with everything around you. Now, they're hard questions, but they're good ones. And the wonderful truth is, when we ask them sincerely, God is gentle and kind. He doesn't crush us, he grows us. He points out the parts of us that need cleaning, not to condemn us, to be restore us. Like a gardener pruning a tree so it bears more fruit. God works in our hearts so they become more like Jesus. And this is where Psalm 15 helps us again. It gives us a vision of a heart that walks with integrity, speaks with truth, keeps promises, and loves what is good. It's not just a checklist, it's an invitation, a call to live honestly, faithfully, and humbly before God. Now, the work of purity is not always easy. It often means choosing what is right when it's hard. It means confessing sin instead of hiding it. It means letting go of things that pull our hearts away from God. But it is good work, and God promises to help us. His Spirit gives us strength, His grace lifts us when we fall, and His presence walks with us every step of the way. So keep going, keep coming back to Him, keep asking for help in turning away from sin and turning back to Jesus. Keep letting Him purify us from the inside out. So let's finish with this. One day, those that have been made pure by Jesus will see him, not just by faith, but face to face. No more tears, no more sin, no more shame. Just the beauty of God forever. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let that be the goal of our lives, not just to be good, but to know God, to see him, and to be like him. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have shown yourself to us in this world in so many ways, but primarily through Jesus on the cross. We thank you that through that sacrifice we can be back in that right relationship with you, that you will make us purer day by day, and that if we know and accept that sacrifice, we can look forward to seeing you face to face in heaven on that final day. Thank you for that, and we pray that you would help us to keep that in our hearts, that we would always want to be working towards that goal. Amen.